yesterday, and then they took us out, fed us again this evening. I'm just fed up. That's what I am. And so thank you so much, and you're so kind. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, if we would, to Psalm chapter 44. I'm also honored. We have some friends of ours here tonight. Scott and Melissa Viers. Melissa was raised up in our church as just a little girl, a little baby, all the way up, and I got the privilege, had the privilege of marrying Scott and Melissa in our church. And Scott was out of God's will and took her away from us. And they go out here to church at, Cross Point Baptist Church, and they're here. Is that right? Faith. Why did I say cross? You, okay. Faith Baptist, okay, and you go to Cross Point. Heather Byers, that's Scott's sister, and she was in our church as a teenager. And they all live out this way, and their mom and dad joined our church years ago, the Byers, and they drove. They still, now, where do they, your parents live again? Clinton Township. They drive all the way to Livonia. And I've been shocked all these years. They've stayed and stayed. That's a long drive. And I know when they're not there, they're visiting with their family and going to church with them. But I'm honored that they come out tonight. I just hope I'm not preaching anything they hadn't heard before. I don't think so. Lord gave me this a few weeks ago, so I don't think they've heard this one. But I'm honored that they'd be here tonight. And then I want to say thank you for the offering you've taken up. I'm a pastor. My church takes care of me well. But the love offering's a blessing. Usually we do something with it for the family or whatever. But thank you so much. And I was honored last night. You were shaking hands, and you did what you did tonight. People come up and put it in the baskets up here. A little girl came up to me. She must have been 6 or 7 years old. And she had 2 quarters, and she came, put them in my hand. And I said, what's this? And she said, it's your offering. I wanted to give you up. That's blessed my heart. And I've taken those 2 little quarters, and I put them up on a shelf. And I'm going to ask the Lord what he'd have me do with those 2 little quarters. But what a blessing that child would do that for the preacher. She's being trained well to honor the preacher. So thank you so much. Psalm chapter 44 tonight. I want to start there, and then we'll look at Psalm 139. Psalm 44, and we'll take a look at verse 21. Psalm 44, verse 21. Shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart? And then I want you to jump over to Psalm 139, and we're going to take a look at verse 23 and 24. Very familiar. I think I might even mentioned it in one of the services. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I have unusual title tonight, but you'll understand where I'm going here in just a little bit. I want to preach to you tonight on Confessions of a Pack Rat. Confessions of a Pack Rat. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We appreciate all that you've done in our life, saving our soul, calling us into your ministry, and Lord, allowing me the privilege of preaching your word for all these years now. And I thank you for the invite to this good local church. They've always been kind. And the preacher was talking about, Lord, some years back where you touched a service and we saw you move. Lord, I've been praying for that again. And I don't know if this is the service. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow night. Don't know if it might be in services to follow when there are pastors in the pulpit. Lord, I pray that you give this good local church a spirit-filled revival. Lord, we need it today. And I just pray, Lord, for your unction. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Confessions of a Pack Rat. Not long ago, several weeks back, I was intending to do some projects around the house. I'm a preacher man. I don't know how to do a whole lot. I usually hire things out, and my wife, she's kind to me. You know, I'll change some light bulbs in the house, and I'll say, honey, your man has changed some light bulbs for you. And she'll say, you're my man, you're my man. And I don't do a whole lot. I'm not real good in those areas. You know, I changed brakes before. It took me 3 weeks to get that job done. And, You know, I can paint. I can paint. But, you know, if I do a plumbing job 2 days later and then a plumber come and do the bill, it never works out for me. So if I wasn't preaching, I don't think I could do much in this world. But God's been kind to me. And so I was trying to do some of these projects of mine. You know, it wasn't anything big. I was going to hang some picture frames on the wall. And I was looking for this thin wire that I knew I had put in a drawer somewhere. And I went to where I thought it was, and it wasn't there. I'm getting ready to put the wire on the back of this picture frame, put it on the wall, and I'm looking everywhere for this wire. I thought I put it in a certain drawer, and I went to that certain drawer, and I couldn't find it. I thought I put it in a place where I could go back and find it again. In my mind, I thought I'd done that. But alas, the wire could not be found, and so I went to another drawer I thought it might be in, and then I went into a cabinet. It wasn't there. I went into a storage room. I got my toolbox out. I looked in my toolbox. It wasn't there. Anybody had this similar experience in your life? Where you know you put something, but you can't seem to find it. The older I get, the worse it gets. But anyway, I was sure I had put it in a certain place. So I went to what we call at our house affectionately the junk drawer. Anybody got a junk drawer? Amen. I knew you did. I knew this church. I knew this message was for this church. Amen. The junk drawer. But it wasn't there. But I have more than one junk drawer. I've got several. And junk drawers are full of things you really don't need. You think you need them, especially me. I have excess plumbing parts. I don't know why. I put things together, you know, through the years for kids' toys. Good night, my son's 37 years old. I still probably got the nuts and bolts from the bike that didn't run right when he was a kid. We wonder why it didn't run right, because I didn't have all the parts in it. But I keep all this stuff because I think I'm going to need it someday. And, of course, I couldn't find that little spool of green wire. But in these junk drawers, there's a lot of unused things, superfluous parts, and but, you know, I thought it was in one place and it wasn't. So I'm still looking for it, all right, in the junk drawer. And so I keep searching and searching and searching, and I can't find it. And finally, I went back to the same places. I tried to retrace my steps and went through all these places I already looked. And I opened up a cabinet again in the kitchen, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw it up on top. Well, I went to reach for it. I bumped something, and all these batteries and candles, and they're falling and raining on me and the floor and hitting the, you know, that's just, I'm a pack rat. My wife's always picking up after me. We have a counter when we come in, you know, you got the key hooks, you know, I don't know how many you have. And she's always hanging up my keys. I leave them on the counter, and I get all kinds of mail, and I have outlines and thoughts, you know, and books that I'm reading, and they all end up, my wife's putting them away in different places. But I have my little places I like to put things. And so it wasn't too long later, I got the spool that fell down, and I found it, and I went to put it on the back of the frames, and I thought, you know, I need a flathead screwdriver to do this job, and I'm looking for the flathead screwdriver. I went in the junk drawer, and I found all kinds of Phillips screwdrivers, but I couldn't find a flat. And finally, I pulled out, and I saw the handle of one of the screwdrivers that I thought was what I was looking for. But, you know, it's like this. You got so much stuff crammed in that junk drawer that you pull it about three-quarters of the way out, and it won't go anymore because there's a hammer in there, a flashlight holding it, and I'm trying to reach my fat hands in there to reach, and I'm reaching and working on it for several meetings. I'm getting a cramp in my arm, and I'm pulling, and finally I get the tip of it, and I pull it out, and it's a Phillips. Say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm a pack rat. I didn't realize a pack rat because I have judged people for being pack rats. Amen. I know some of them in my family. I get on them all the time about this and that, and the boys when they were growing up and the girls in our house. But I didn't really realize I was a pack rat till this particular day. A little bit later, we were going somewhere. I don't remember going to a meeting. Maybe I was preaching somewhere, and I went in my sock drawer. I got socks galore. And I went in there and I grabbed a pair, and I sat down like I always do and put on my socks and put on my shoes, you know, and I put on my sock. I had a hole in my sock. Now, I don't have holes in my sock, generally speaking, because my wife always goes in there and gets rid of them. But I remember not too long ago before this day that I was in the laundry room and I noticed some of my favorite socks were in the trash can, right on top in the laundry room. They weren't dirty or anything. She threw them out, and I didn't understand. Well, now I understand. because, you know, it had a hole in it. And when I put them on, I didn't throw them away. I put them back in my drawer because they're my comfortable socks. You understand? You know, you might need a pair of socks someday that you don't have to go to somebody's house or preach in, but you're trying to do lawn work. And hey, they're perfectly good socks. They're soft. They're broke in just the way I like them. And then I thought to myself, you're nothing but a pack rat. Well, I went in the closet after that, and I went to look for some shoes and couldn't find my shoes, but I found several pairs of shoes that I had 20 years ago. And I use them for lawn work and painting and things like that. What am I trying to say? I have a problem. Tonight's my message is a confession of a pack rat. Amen. I am a pack rat. And don't you laugh at me. Don't you judge me, because you folks probably are too. What did I do wrong now? I even turned it on tonight. Confession of a pack rat. That's me. That's probably some of you. Amen. We all got, some of you guys probably got socks in your drawer that got holes in them, but you ain't going to get rid of them. Your wife get rid of them, but you won't get rid of them. I want to talk about tonight, I don't know, is it me? Or okay. Now again, I have judged others for being pack rats, really even flat out hoarders. Amen. And I could name some names tonight, but these people here know the people that I'd say, so I don't want to do that. Okay. But what I want to talk to you tonight is about being spiritual pack rats. We have hid some things away in the recesses of our heart that need to get out, because all they do is bog us down. They get in the way. Maybe in the way from revival in this meeting. I have a thought tonight that all of us have stuff hidden away in the recesses of our hearts and in our minds that grieve God, that quench the Holy Spirit, that offend God. Things that we think we need to hang on to, but we don't need to hang on to them. We're storing them away. We're putting them in a room, and we're telling God, don't go in that room, the rooms of our heart. And we say, God, now there's a door you're not opening. There's a part of my heart that you can't go into. And that keeps us from having revival. That keeps us from being used of the Lord. That keeps us from having fruit. That keeps us from having the power of God on our life, the touch of God on our life. And sometimes we don't even realize how much stuff we have packed away. Hoarded up. And we are nothing but spiritual pack rats. And it's not a little thing, it's a big thing. Stuff that is in the way of us getting victory in our life. Stuff that's keeping us from being used of God like He'd like to use us. Stuff that is spiritually weighing us down, that's hurting our personal walk with God, our relationship with others. Sometimes marriages aren't what they could be because we've hidden away some stuff, some offenses, some bitterness, some anger, and we haven't dealt with them. And every once in a while it dawns on us we have a problem. But are we going to deal with it? Within our hearts, my friends, we're hanging on to some things that are just getting in the way, and they're hurting Christ. Some habits, some sin, some emotional baggage. The Bible says again in Psalm 44, verse 21, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of our heart. I mean, you can live in the same home with somebody. You could be in the same church with somebody. You could be married to an individual, and we have secrets in our heart that only we and God know about. And that gets in the way from God working in our lives. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 again, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And tonight, if you really want a measure of revival with God, then you're going to have to open up your heart. And you're going to have to say, God, search me. God, show me the things that I'm packing away, that I'm hoarding up, that I'm hiding, trying to hide. Hey, we can't hide anything from our God, but we think we can. wrong things that are stored up in our heart, things we don't need, things we should let go of, things that are cluttering up our spirit. Again, anger issues, jealousy issues, bitterness, offenses, rebellion. These things could be bogging us down spiritually. And in doing so, we become more frustrated and we become more anger and we're not as used as much as the Lord wants to. In Proverbs 14 and verse 10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, the scripture said. You coming back with a microphone? Time out. You can't. You know, one time, one time I had a preacher friend of mine, he had a beautiful tie on, and I went up to him. I said, "Man, I love that tie." I said, "Matter of fact, God told me to tell you, you give me that tie." And he said, "Well, I already prayed about it." And he said he didn't know you. But anyway. Can you come back to me now? We're talking about things that bog us down, things that clutter our heart, things that are put in our life that we're hiding away from God and others, but we really can't fool God, can we? What? Anger issues, jealousy issues, bitterness, offenses, rebellion. Proverbs 14:10 says this, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Wow. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile a man. How's your heart tonight? We got in that heart. What are you storing up in there? Amen. Words that are wrong or words that are mean or mean-spirited or unkind or unholy, unprofitable to us, we store them up. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? We store them. We muse upon them. We get them out every once in a while and look them over and we stick them back in the junk drawer of our soul. But our soul's not supposed to be a junk drawer. You say, how'd they get there? Well, it gets in our mind, gets in our heart, ends up in our soul. Amen. What kind of words? Gossip, criticism, evil surmisings, the scripture talks about, character assassinations, filthy language, abusive language, hurtful words. You know, I've been a pastor for, I think, 37 years now this year, and I've done a lot of marital counseling, premarital counseling. And boy, I've dealt with situations where wives have not been physically abused, but they have been verbally abused. And you know that old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. Names hurt. They hurt relationships. They hurt deep into the soul of us. We've got to be careful of the junk of words. Don't think that these things are benign and not serious, because they are. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Mark 7:21. For within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good measure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We allow our hearts to become the junk drawer of our soul. Listen, it took that day of finding old shoes and socks with holes in the toe and looking for a spool of a wire for me to understand that, you know, I'm more of a pack rat than I thought I was. But think about spiritually speaking tonight. Maybe you and I are spiritually pack rats. Amen. So what am I going to do about it? What can a spiritual pack rat do? Is there a class for it? Is there an IRU program for it? I'll tell you there's a program for it. It's called the Word of God. And so tonight in the Word of God, I want us to see some things about spiritual pack rats. Okay, you with me? Am I the only one in here? How many are with me? You're a spiritual pack. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Be honest. If we confess our sin, right, preacher? First of all, I want to talk to you tonight about see that you have a problem in your life. Before you can address a problem, you have to see that you have one. We have an addiction program in our church we have every Friday night. We've had it for, I think, 13 years. And lots of times when people come, they don't think they have a problem. Lots of times you talk to them in interview stage, and I'm not an alcoholic, really. I'm not a drug addict, really. I don't really have a problem with pornography. I don't really have an anger issue, and they don't want to admit it. We're all that way. For us to get help from God, we have to see we have a problem in a particular area. Amen? And some people are dealing with spiritual hoarding of wrong and even wicked things in their life, and they wonder why there's no revival. We wonder why we have services, and our pastor gets up, and he's got a burden on his heart, and he delivers a message, and it seems like nothing happens. Young people, every young people department is the same. You got young people that love God, and they need to mature, and you're working with them, and you wonder why nothing's moving. Sometimes I think we've just hidden away some things that we're not dealing with. The Spirit of God is grieved and quenched. You got to see you have a problem in your life. Like any addictive behavior, it has to be seen. Not just by others. Hey, listen, other people see it. Well, you know, I, as a pastor, sometimes I can see things in people's lives that they can't see. Other people see things in my life that I don't see. I remember I tried to be gracious, but I'm my mother's son. My mother shows her emotion on her face. And I try to not do that, but I'll be dealing with a problem in that, and it's all over my face. I remember counseling a lady one night, and I was telling her, and she's looking at me, and she said, Pastor, I said, did I say something to offend you? She said, yes. And I said, well, what did I say? And she said, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. I thought, but she saw it here. See? And sometimes we're good at hiding from everybody else, but listen, people close to us, they know we have a problem. But even if everybody else has been fooled, our God, we can never hide it from Him, and we think we can. We have to first see the problem for ourselves. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. We were in 1 Kings yesterday. 2 Kings chapter 6, and take a look at verse 15 through 17. Would you please? 2 Kings chapter 6. Again, in order to get help, we have to see our problem for ourselves. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, listen what the word says. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What's going on in this chapter? Well, the enemy has come against God's people. The Syrians were coming against God's people. And Elisha, the prophet. And here's the young assistant, if you would, of the prophet. He's thinking, oh, we're in trouble. We're never going to make it out of this alive. And here's the Syrians. And the old man of God said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. You see, there's hidden war going on, right? There's principalities and powers, even in this place tonight, probably. There's devils that are trying to keep people from having revival. That's true. There's a spirit world. There's spiritual warfare going on. And in our lives, it's going on. And here, the prophet of God said, open his eyes, Lord. And God opened his eyes, and they saw there's more with us than with them. Amen. I'm glad that greater is he in you than he's in the world. Oh, God, help us to see the clutter in our hearts, our spirits, and our souls tonight. Second of all, we need to admit and confess to ourselves, you confess to yourself, and to God, our sin. Psalm 32 and verse 15, David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah is that pause and music. Think about it. A refrain that's sang or sung and thought about, mused about. Dwell on that. James chapter 5 tells us in verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, hallelujah, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got to see it, and then we got to ask for help. Oh God, let me confess my sin to you. I'm so glad what Brother Stephen Clark said tonight. I appreciated that. That we'd think about maybe sins that we need to open our heart and mind to and confess them so that God can speak to us. To confess to God our wrong baggage, the things that are in our heart that are sinful, and to take the first step to recovery of being spiritual rat packs, or pack rats, that sounds better. Bitterness, anger, unconfessed sin of the flesh, unholy thoughts, unconfessed rebellion, living carnally, befriending this old world. Confession, I mentioned this, is just not enough. And that's my third point tonight. If we're going to get some help with the baggage of our soul, of the clutter that's in our souls tonight, we need to forsake our words and our ways. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, again, we're told from the Scripture, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's just not enough to come and cry some tears. It's not enough to just say, I'm sorry. We got to stop it. Forsake it. Again, in counseling, I've met a lot of relationships where either the woman or the man will just do wrong and then say to their mate, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And after a while, it doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, with our God, all we can, if we're just saying, oh God, I'm sorry, I recognize I'm not right, I'm sinful, but he said, whoso confesseth and forsaketh it, stop it. Can I say to you tonight as a church, as a preacher here for revival, I love you, I want to help you. There's things that we're doing that offend God. Here's what you need to do. Stop it. Just stop it. Let's get real with God. Anybody like me, but that I'm not perfect? Anybody perfect in here? You know, sometimes I get alone with God and I'll confess sin and the Lord will remind me about one I hadn't confessed. It's like I'm thinking, well, if I don't mention it, he won't think of it. It don't work that way. Hey, we need to get real with God. I've said this for years. Sometimes people come to an old-fashioned altar in a church service or a revival meeting. They come down. I don't know if you've ever done this. I've done this. You've probably done this. I come down, and sometimes I find myself praying, and then I realize, what am I doing? I'm just repeating a prayer. And I'll say, God, let me be real with you. Let me not just go through the motions. Help me to be honest with you. Help me to open my heart. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts bringing things to me that I didn't really want to look at, that I wasn't ready to deal with. And if we'll deal with those things, we can get clarity. We can get a clear heart. We can get the movement of God again in our heart and our life. And oh, I tell you what, we can have revival. No church, listen, there's not a church that can have revival if God's people don't have personal revival. So what are you holding on to in the junk drawer of your soul? There are many warnings in God's word concerning our words and our ways. Colossians 3 and verse 8, but know ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication come out of your mouth. Did it say that? Yeah, it said that. You know what this is written to? It's written to Christians. Folks, these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, these are cluttering up our soul. A few years back, I had a fella come into church. He never joined the church. He attended for some while. I liked him. He liked us. And he was looking for a church. And he came from a Church of God background, and he believed in speaking in tongues, and him and I couldn't agree on that. And he knew that, so he really never joined the church. But he liked me, and I liked him, and I helped him with his family. His wife had some health issues, and his son. And he came for a long time, but he and I didn't see it off real good at times. I tried to love him, and I remember this one particular Sunday. he came into church. He looked kind of uncomfortable. And my brother Chuck was instrumental in me becoming a Christian. And my brother Chuck got out of sorts with the Lord, and he was out of church for 25 years. And hallelujah, about 4 years ago, he got right with God. He's back in serving the Lord like he used to. You don't hear that story very often, do you? And we prayed and prayed and prayed. Boy, he's really on fire for the Lord. Amen. But this was before Chuck got right with the Lord. And this man was going to church, and my unbeknownst to my brother, this man went to our church. And that road rage thing was happening on the way to church for this man that's been visiting. My brother was not right with God. He was out of church, I said, for 25 years. So this is probably about 20 years ago this happened, or 5 years ago this happened. But this this fella and my brother are having road rage. He said, how'd you find out? Because the man came in church, he looked a little funny when he came into church, like he was upset about something. And in come my brother. My brother was driving in, and he kept following this guy. He's going to tell this guy what he thought of him. Well, this fella gave my brother a hand signal. And that made him even madder. My brother's a fighter, you know. He's in the flesh. He's backslid on God. And he's driving and following this man, and they turn right, and then they turn right, and then they turn into the parking lot. And my brother went right in after him. He saw that guy park his car, hurry up, get in church. My brother got out of his vehicle and went into church. He's looking for me. I'm trying to get ready to preach. I'm trying to be spiritual, you understand? I see this man. He's not a member, but he's in the church. And he looks upset about something, and I see my brother come in. I'm getting ready to preach. This is a blessing. You're trying to have God on you, right? You're trying to pray. Here comes your backslidden brother in the door, coming down the aisle. He points over to that guy. He says, you know that guy? And that guy says, I mean, my brother's not a real quiet guy. You can understand, I'm not either. He's way worse than me. He said, that guy, he cut me off, and we were going for it. And boy, I tell you what, I was going to tell him what I thought, and he gave me this hand sign. He said, he's a member of your church. I said, no, he's not. You never know who you run into, amen? But you see, that came out of a heart that was angry. Hey, it happens to us. Don't look so sanctimonious. You might not say anything, or you might not wave at somebody, but sometimes we think it. Hey, you know, I remember the last time that I used I'm not trying to be super spiritual here because I thought it a few times, but last time I said something that was really inappropriate. We were going to church. My wife and I were a young couple, had our little kids in the car. A guy cut me off on Telegraph, and it just came out. And my wife looked at me, and my little baby, I said, I am so sorry. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hey, this list here, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication on your own. Hey, God is warning us that we got things in our heart that need to be taken out of our heart, out of our heads, amen. Out of our heart, and I'll tell you why, it'll end up in your soul, and it'll come out with sometimes provocation, sometimes under pressure, sometimes at the time you never think it would come. And I'll tell you this, listen, you and I all, wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be where we're at today doing what we're doing. And any one of us at different time or a different stress can be not ourselves, and we can get further away from the Lord. So what do? We make it right. Amen. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Psalm 59:12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying which they speak. What about that? Lie not. That's something we're not supposed to lie. Do we lie? Absolutely we lie. So, I don't do that. The Bible says if you say you lie not, you're a liar. That's what the Scripture tells us in 1 John. Proverbs 8:8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Again, our words, gossiping, talebearing, the Scripture talks about, it hurts people. So, Pastor Brown, you ever been a talebearer? Absolutely. I won't let you in on a secret. Your preacher probably won't appreciate this, nor will the assistant pastor. I'm not saying these two fine gentlemen, but some of the worst gospelers I know are preachers. Because they say, the sanctimonious, you know, we're just sharing. Amen. Well, what a mess we are, right? I'm preaching in a pastor's meeting tomorrow morning in Lansing, and my message is, what a wonder. My pastor used to say, it's a wonder that we get anything done for God because of what we are. And I'm bringing a thought tomorrow. Isn't it a wonder God gets anything done with us? Isn't it a wonder that God blesses us in spite of us? Our thoughts, our actions, our words, our attitude. Amen. And where's that all hid? Recesses of our heart. Sometimes it ends up in the soul. We need to correct our hoarding, our harboring away of deep things within our heart, unprofitable stuff, dark, harmful clutter that pollutes us. And then tonight we need to do something else. We need to accept God's forgiveness to help us clean house. We need to accept God's forgiveness. Hey, we all have done wrong. Amen? There's not a man that sinneth not. We all have done wrong, but we need to accept God's forgiveness when we've done wrong. And that's what revival's about. You know, you preach a message like this, you give an invitation, you think, well, anybody come to that one because everybody's going, oh, I've been up to something. Pastor Brown preached and everybody can't come to the altar because we don't want everybody to think we've done wrong. But you don't need to worry about me. Don't need to worry about the preacher. We need to worry about God and ourselves. We had a service not too long ago and I preached a message and it was kind of calling on people to make some things right. And I said, let's do this, folks. I know that nobody's going to come forward tonight because of this, but if everybody comes forward, nobody will know. You know what happened that night? Everybody came forward. There might have been two or three people in the back, but the altar flooded. And what a blessing it was. People told me after, said, well, preacher, I really got help tonight. You know why? Because sometimes we're in church and we say, I don't want to go forward after that message. I don't want anybody to think I'm a gossip. I don't want to think anybody, I got some deep hidden thing in my heart. Hey, we all got deep hidden things at times in our life, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. Maybe when we get ready to have an invitation here in a little bit, it'd just be good for those that would just come to the altar. Say, preacher, I don't know that. Hey, come pray for somebody else. Come praise the Lord. Amen. Come pray for the meeting. Come pray for your pastor. Maybe God hasn't done business with you, but that might help somebody else that God is dealing with, that they might come and get some help tonight. Because, folks, we have ourselves cluttered up with junk that we need to get rid of. And when we do, praise the Lord, we need to understand, accept God's forgiveness. And when you accept God's forgiveness, you'll have a freedom. You'll have a joy again. Amen. A skip in your spiritual step. You'll have peace with God again. That's what he wants to give. A measure of revival is just feeling clean again. Feeling whole again. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So we need to see it. We need to admit it. We need to confess it. We need to forsake it. And I'll tell you this. We'll enjoy a new, fresh start of our new life of freedom. And you know what that's called? It's called revival. Revival in the heart and spirit life. Maybe you're not a spiritual hoarder yet. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I'm kind of a pack rat. I understand what you're saying. But people can take it worse and they can become hoarders. Say, preacher, that's not me. But the clutter in your heart is building up. And someday you might end up a spiritual hoarder. There'll be all kinds of avenues closed off to you. I don't know if any of you, I've seen this a few times. I've had to deal with it with people. But people that get such an affinity for stuff that they just buy and buy and get and hoard. My daughter, Joy, is married to an assistant pastor in a church in Virginia. And when they got there, they stayed in a prophet's chamber. Then they had a house the church had for them. They had a lady that had passed away. She visited their church two or three times, like 20 years ago. Nobody knew who she was. She only visited two or three times. Well, she passed away, and she left like a $200,000+ to the church. She left him a home, a beautiful home. Left him land, left him all kinds. They had another family. They're getting ready to build a building. They have $12 million in the bank. Can you imagine $12 million in the bank? Because they just had some folks that gave it to the church. They had one family that had $2 million, and on their departure went to heaven, they left it for the church, and the lost family didn't want that, so they fought it, and they ended up getting like $1.3 million. But they had all these situations. But this one lady left this house, and they went into the house. It looked beautiful on the outside. They thought it was unusual because it had like five garages. And on this side, it had like three or four storage buildings. They went in that house, and the lady that passed away was a hoarder. They couldn't even get through the hallways. They couldn't even get in the restroom. Her house was full of stuff. Now, we all know and see those programs where people hoard and it's just full of junk and they got to walk on top of it. We hear about the ambulance can't get in to get them. I mean, it's bad. That's a bad thing, right? This particular lady didn't have that problem. She just liked to buy things. And as they went in there, they went in those garages. And in those garages, Brother Tommy, were 12 brand new lawnmowers in the boxes, never in touch. I mean, computers upon computers and music stuff. And she just bought all this stuff. And when she got a house full where she couldn't get through the hallways and the basement was full of it, she put up a garage and filled that, and another garage and filled that, and another one and filled that, and these little side barns filled with this, all this stuff. They sold that and got thousands of dollars for their building program. Brand new stuff. So people can leave from being just a pack rat, you understand, and become a hoarder. But listen, folks, it doesn't have to just be all kinds of good stuff, brand new in its package that you could sell again. We all know the worst condition can be somebody that's a hoarder, garbage, filth, feces, all that nasty stuff, dead animals. We've all seen on the news where somebody has like 50-something cats living with them and nobody knew it till the authorities came. This is all terrible stuff, but folks, if we're not careful spiritually, we can hoard up unforgiveness and gracelessness with others and an ingrate spirit and a judgmental spirit and foul words and anger and jealousy. These things can kill a Christian spiritually and kill a church. And we want God to bless. And God says, I can't bless you unless we confess sin. If my people, right? I'm going to wrap it up tonight. I want to remind what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James says, therewith bless we God, even our Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of our God. So tonight, let's think, as we close this service, of all the stuff that may be fouling up our soul, negative and judgmental spirit, lustful thoughts, musings, readings, programming, inappropriate internet, carnal craving, and on and on and on we could go tonight. But I think you get the picture. Within all of us is the potential of not just good, but evil. I've run into people through the years that have come to me as a pastor, and they say, preacher, I don't know how I got here. And then they tell me the sordid tale. And their hearts are broken, their families are broken, their relationships are broken. And I'll be honest with you, many, 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 many times, as I said the other day, when they come, it's kind of too late almost. Truth is, it's never really too late if people of God will do business with God. Amen? Let's stand to our feet if we would tonight. Let's bow our heads if we would. I'm going to have the preacher come. I want to challenge you tonight, church. I confess myself. Confession of a pack rat. You heard it. Spiritually speaking, I believe all of us probably have some stuff that we ought to do inventory and maybe come to God and say, God, I need help tonight. I got a thought problem. I got a mouth problem. I've got a heart attitude problem. I got a rebellious spirit. I'm not spiritual. I'm carnal. And listen, if we have a lot of that in a church, you're not going to have much revival. But we've all got problems, don't we? From the pulpit to the pew. And I'm going to challenge you tonight. I don't know that you have liberty to do it, but I wish you would. I wish those that could, that when you give the invitation tonight, your pastor's going to lead. When you give the invitation tonight, that many will come. That way everybody will not know everybody else's business, and we'll all get help. Amen? Amen? Would you help me with that? Let's pray. Father, I really want to see a measure of revival here. And Lord, we sometimes wait and wait. Sometimes we have a few day services and week, and sometimes protracted meetings. And Lord, there's just a few nights for this meeting, and I would love for you to be glorified, and I would love for this pastor to be encouraged. I would love for this church, Lord, to be set on fire. Lord, I preached a message that I felt, Lord, would really help us tonight, and I didn't do a very good job, Lord, but would you help me now? Would you move in hearts? Would you take the words that were preached and the scripture that was read, and would you apply it to our hearts? Oh God, help us to get the junk out of our soul. Help us to get things out of our mind and our hearts tonight that are offending you and holding us back from being blessed of you. Lord, I pray that if people have liberty tonight, they'll come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and praise and pray for others and pray themselves unto you, God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. I'm just going to ask the instruments to play. You need to come, you come.